Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And no one else, because Josh Brown's got the vid. He's got the video. The video killed the Josh Brown star. Man's recovering, and we send him the absolute best thoughts and well wishes. And you should be back on by next week's podcast. But just sending all the love, aren't we, Ben Roy?
Yeah, sending all the love and hoping that he binges everything he's been missing out on, and hopefully he finishes Mad Men soon.
In a wider sense, though, the gaming industry, obviously a massive couple of weeks for news. There was the whole Xbox Activision acquisition the last few weeks, and now the biggest thing is Sony's acquisition of Bungie, which we're just going to talk about what it means in the widest sense possible, about the general predictions for the future of the industry, where things are at right now, and just, I kind of want to just pass it over to you and we'll see where we go. What do you think Sony's plan is with this? What do you think they were thinking when they bought Bungie? Because at the time, I remember I sent it to like the group chat that we have. I think we talked about it in there. And I remember Josh thinking that it was an insane get, because he just thought that, you know, they did Halo, all those main creatives left, then they did Destiny, and that's kind of it. But where do you sit on it?
I would think it was an insane get if we had we as like the royal we, not like yes. Me as in me, I'm Sony. like is if we got something like more exclusive out of it. Like I know there's this thing about consolidation, and is it bad? Is it good? Like, I think it can both, but I don't like spending $3.6 billion on a company where you're essentially not going to get anything exclusive, and you're going to have a guarantee. Basically, you're guaranteed to get Phil Spencer's favorite game and like not miss out on that. But at the same time, it's hard to just look on a side of like, what are we going to get when literally Xbox just got Call of Duty and like Crash Bandicoot and all that. But then I get that Bungie's been in a state for a few years where they've been like, you know, going through this, the service model, when yes. Seeing how games can keep living on, and they have mm-hmm. that knowledge. They've got the bruises over the years. They've dealt with all these different like aspects that Sony kind of gave up on even doing anything multiplayer centric once they sort of like bagged Call of Duty, right?
Destruction All-Stars, absolute mess, yeah.
Oh, that piece of crap. And they went to their method, which I prefer, uh-huh. of the third person sort of like narrative-based thing. But then also, as someone who plays a lot of stuff online with friends, like, I'm interested in this, but at the same time, as I close this ramble and hand it back to you, I don't know if it's... Unless the next game that they've got in the works is literally liquid gold, if it's just got Jim Ryan so excited, then fair play. But for just right now, just Bungie's knowledge and Destiny, uh-huh. I don't know if it's there.
It's a weird feeling, isn't it? Because like when everything broke with the Activision thing, we found that out live, and we were all just a general mix of like bewilderment and, oh my god, and what's the best possible thing that can come from it? And it's ridiculous that they threw $70 billion at Call of Duty and everything else. This one, it feels like a lot smaller. I know it's Bungie, obviously it's Halo, but it feels like a more considered acquisition. It's not just this big bulky thing that Microsoft do, where they sort of just put their arms around a whole bunch of different games and IPs and drag them all yeah. in. This feels more like a calculated thing. And I saw VGC. Video Game Chronicle revealed this morning that a third of that entire acquisition fee is going back into the company. They're calling it employee retention. They're going to be offered different raises. They're going to be offered different reasons to stick around when the deal closes. It seems like it is this investment into Bungie overall, which is what Pete Parsons was saying when the deal got announced, that it's like it is to strengthen them as an independent studio, which is interesting because on the Bethesda side, on the Microsoft side, when they acquired Bethesda, it was always the conversation around exclusivity, and it took them months before they finally said, okay, yes, everything will be exclusive to platforms where Game Pass exists, i.e. Xbox exclusives. So what do you think of like how Bungie will operate going forward? Do you believe the exclusive side of it? Because for me, I just think you get the guys that made Halo and Destiny, you at some point get them to do a first-person shooter that's exclusive to PlayStation or some sort of exclusive, because that's why you spent the money.
Well, if I was like the full-on businessman, then I'd be Lord Business in business, making business happen and making all the Johnny coins for everyone to sort of fall down, and I want to be buried with my money. But having listened to a few shows over the past few weeks, and one person in particular keeps popping up, he's called Hoaglaw. He's acquisitions lawyer. I seem to be learning all my knowledge of him.
Yes,
and
Rick Hoaglaw, enough, dude's blowing up quite considerably.
Quoting Rick Hogue there, like, he's never heard of a deal like this before where a company gets 100% autonomy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, like, me and my brief little knowledge of, like, just hearing acquisition stuff around the world, like, this just seems weird that you've bought a company, but they are just, you've bought, basically,
it's going to still stay there.
They're just living it. Imagine this is like, say, a mansion. They're just living in your mansion somewhere. They're not paying rent. They're going to keep doing what they're doing, and you're just going to leave them alone. You've got to knock on their door several times before you can come in. You can't
nod at each other every now and then.
You don't have any parameters on their pets. Their cats can go wherever they want. All these sort of things. Like they're going to let their dogs sit on your sofa, and you've got no choice in the matter. It just seems like such a weird deal, especially for Sony's first big deal. And it's always funny.
Since Insomniac, back at, like, that was a lot smaller.
It's nothing compared to these deals now. It's like what, quarter of a billion, that deal?
One really quick thing to drop in is that they bought Insomniac for like 233 million. It was something like that. It was a really small amount, 230 something million. And obviously they got Spider-Man out of that alongside everything else that Insomniac do. And then this one, it's 3.6 billion and it's not even close to acquiring stuff. It's not like they bought Destiny or anything. Just an insane sign of the times, or a sign of how much things change.
Yeah, it seems like patchwork almost, like, because you know when they bought what was the company they bought to help them get pissed now? It was Geico, wasn't it?
Geico, the streaming stuff.
And they used that to propel them forward into the PlayStation Now stuff, when you thought at the time that they were thinking far ahead, and it's still not come to fruition, like, fully since we enter whatever we're going to come to now with Spartacus. But I'm confused, right? Unless you're getting like some sort of exclusive thing out of them, or literally if it is like we need to buy something because Microsoft has been buying up all these things and they can lock it off forever, and we need a shooter along this box, because this box will not have a shooter. It won't have anything of circumstance after a couple of years.
Well, that's the thing. Let's pivot, or at least bring in some of the wider stuff that Jim Ryan's been saying, because some of the stuff that's come out about the deal itself, Lana Pierce pointed out that as far as she knew, the team at Sony Santa Monica didn't know about the deal, but she mentioned the fact that, you know, they largely acquired Bungie because of their live service technology, because of just how pristine their live service stuff is. And that is the case. Like, you play Destiny, like I remember playing those things at midnight, and it was like one of the only games that was stable at midnight. And it feels like Bungie have such a handle on netcode, like they're so far ahead of everyone else. And Jim Ryan has said that they will have 11 live service games in the next few years. So whether Last of Us Factions now becomes this live service, free to play, whatever it is thing, and whether the rumored Horizon multiplayer game becomes that thing, that seems to be the main reason they acquired them. So I guess they don't mind giving a third of the money back into the company and letting them do stuff on the side, because they've literally just paid ostensibly $2 billion for some really shiny, fancy netcode.
Yeah, and it's weird, like, with the live service, because you don't know exactly, like, it's such a vague, it could be horrible, and you could hearken to, like, the worst thing ever, like, Jim's going to get 17 Candy Crushes on PlayStation, and that's all they're going to do from now on. Or it could be, as you said, like, The Last of Us, where I've seen people be concerned that that new game, the new online thing, is going to be full of microtransactions. Right. When if you look at the original Last of Us Online, it was anyway. It had all the skins and anything you can think of in there. And like, you know, you could wear a funky clown mask. That's why they went into a Halloween shop in Left Behind, because all of that stuff was just cosmetic DLC in the multiplayer, if you think about it like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's how many live services did they say they wanted again?
11 in total.
So yeah, so I mean, like, if this, remember, like, again, like, we don't unless it's, we don't know how far deep it goes. Like, remember the time when everything had a multiplayer? Remember, BioShock 2's got a multiplayer, like, and we're just gonna, you might play that for 3 matches. Singularity multiplayer, that's probably banging, but I never touched it.
Arkham Origins got a multiplayer as well.
It's the reason why some of these games cannot be platinums, because so many of them just have dead online modes and they never get fully populated. Mm-hmm. And it's the big gold rush to get in and out sort of thing. But yeah, Destiny, on the other hand, it's like a game that you can sort of live in, but then I'm scared. I wouldn't want all these. Destiny is a game I class as a game, as a games as a job.
Yes, literally.
You've got some other people I like to follow in the industry. Like they do go in and they do their Destiny homework, and then they're done sort of thing. Like, I like a more.
You had that with Gears for a while, I think, where you were like doing your dailies and keeping up with
it. I did every battle pass for like 3 years, and then they finished now. Whereas like with Halo, I vowed not to do that. And I have the battle pass, but I don't look at any of the challenges, and I just incrementally just get up as it is anyway. And I'm just like, I'm not making another game as a job as much as I did enjoy playing Gears. But with like a Destiny 2, for example, Phil Spencer's favorite game, as it's been announced recently, he has 50 days in Destiny 2.
Right, it's okay. In game time.
So, and like, you imagine, like, that's a very busy human. So think of like other people that are even more like the younger generation that are playing games, or people that literally they'll clock off when they finish from work, and they're not going to be pulled into meetings Christmas Eve to buy companies for almost $70 billion and sort of things. It's just like, that's the scale of these sort of games where you, and they're also, in a sense, why I like to use multiplayer for sometimes is a glorified chat room.
Like,
you'll be wondering why I'm playing Rainbow Six Extraction. It's because I'm talking to my friends and then getting angry at this game before I delete it forever. So I would hope that these live services scale from what they are, but I don't think they're going to go full whole hog. And I think Jim, being Lord Business Money Man, has realized that we need some of this microtransaction money that we've been skimping off for years, and just probably look at how much Halo Infinite's made since it launched.
The thing that's interesting is the idea of like live service stuff pivoting from third-party exclusives or third-party productions to first-party exclusives. Like, Halo Infinite is very much a content plan unraveling over time, and some of that is because of the messy as hell production. Feels like whatever they can just finalize any given week is then rolled into the live version of the game. But I feel like if you start embracing that on the first-party side and everything becomes this thing you have to check in on every week, every month or every day, then for me it's exactly what you said, it's games as a job. And like, I don't know about you, but I can only really handle like one or two of those games. Like, it's not like 11 is a hell of a lot. If they start applying the first party portfolio to the 11 live service games, and a lot of them we already know are coming, like Last of Us, Twisted Metal is very much coming, there's the, like I said, there's the rumored Horizon stuff. If they put that much importance on these live service things and you've got dailies for all of them every day, like, they're going to fall into the same pitfalls that all the third parties did, and the reason that that model became so exhausting across the 2010s.
Maybe, I mean, Gran Turismo, you got a bet as well. Oh, pardon me. Maybe it's, as long as it's varied and as long as it's different. Like, at the same time, I was upset there wasn't a multiplayer mode with The Last of Us 2, because I enjoyed the multiplayer mode in The Last of Us so much. It was Gears, but with tins of beans full of nails, and you just shanking
your Facebook
someone.
Friends list.
Yeah, that Facebook friends list was one of the best implementations of, it's probably the best implementation of Facebook in anything ever in the history of our planet. Yeah. And it will ever be.
I don't know if they'll ever do that again, but like, literally populate enemies in games with my actual friends, and it's pretty good.
An ex-girlfriend has now joined your clan, and like, oh, well, this is awkward. But
no beans for you.
They're just little dots on the map. But it's... It, who... I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to be offended or angry if, like, with Red Dead 2, as flat as that was, or like Grand Theft Auto, the Horizon world allows you to ramble about with people and they do bits and bobs in there. But as long as the fear is, as long as everything doesn't turn into a GTA 5 as well, where it's kind of like, no,
well, that's all that studio does now.
We're here forever now.
Yeah.
Forever. I mean, like, games, of course, companies make their big money on the games, but then they want to make more money. And we, at the same time, we don't want to feel sorry for them but also they want to build up and get more and more. So a game lasts 5 years or so. Like, imagine if Horizon had this like multiplayer mode where you can go in and you went to someone with metal in their face. I can't remember some of the characters' names, and they were like, can you go and get that tall lad and climb him and then bring him back here, sort of thing like that. Or I never was offended by games having horde modes in either. Like,
I remember the horde mode boom of like 2008 was brilliant.
That sort of broke away, that sort of like cut a hole in, I felt like, the Call of Duty business for a while, until they were like, we just have zombies then.
Yeah.
But as long as it's varied, and as long as it's not all the same, and as long as it doesn't make it so... I know these games already... Like, how long is Horizon and God of War? But I'm like, I put my foot down and I'm angry and I'm annoyed. But at the same time, we look at something like Gears 5 is going to be going for like maybe 6 years before we get Gears 6.
We should talk about I want to go back to this stuff, the specifics of like what can potentially come from Bungie, but we should talk about the wider plan, like the wider sort of like industry face-off stuff, because I feel, to make a comparison, like you've got like Microsoft acquiring so much stuff, throwing so much money at so many different IPs, and they remind me a lot of Disney Plus, where they're just sort of, or the Disney in general, just sort of like, we're going to acquire so much stuff, and that's the service that you're paying for. You're paying for sheer bulk of stuff, and you might not watch even 10% of it, but you're getting all of it. That's your value for money. And I feel like the opposite side of that is what Sony's doing, which are more careful acquisitions or more careful planning, and they're doubling down, or it feels like they're doubling down on the PlayStation Studios stuff. Like, that logo is now in front of everything. Like, it was in front of MLB when MLB the Show went onto Xbox, and they're out there talking about this in conjunction with the Bungie deal, saying that they're moving into that stuff going forward. And so you have that sort of wider brand ethos thing of like, what if PlayStation becomes this almost Marvel-like entity, where they're crossing over at TV and movies, and obviously Uncharted's about to launch, even though no one really cares about it. But there's also Last of Us, there's Ghost of Tsushima, and there's a Horizon movie in the works as well. And so what do you think about like the where both companies are at in terms of like trying to, what the generation's going to look like for them? Like, which one appeals to you more?
I can't wait to see who Tom Holland plays in all these movies that Sony are putting out, because
he's the ghost in Ghost of Tsushima.
Sony can't make a movie or anything anymore without Tom Holland being the lead, right? But also, like, you say all these things, and I feel like one of the wider questions is like, what if Sony just get bought themselves? Because like they've got to be smarter, because they're like, have you ever played the game Agario?
Which one's right?
Agario. It was like it's a browser game where you start with this little blob, and you're going around trying to absorb other little blobs, and all these blobs are real people trying to escape you, and as you're consuming each other, and then as you're having this, like, you're trying to consume someone else, and then there's this giant blob that will take up the whole screen if you go near it, and it will just launch itself at you and consume you. And that's kind of good. Sony's sort of navigating all these little blobs as Microsoft is there. And you got to think, like, if Phil is at the point, Microsoft could just be like, gobble your mind and destroy. Maybe. They could just pull the button and destroy.
That would become like a huge like war, shareholder Sony,
if they wanted to. But then obviously at the same time, there's these other giant blobs that float around. It's called like Tencent and other things like that, that are just sort of like also floating. The Embracer Group is legit, if you look how many studios they have, they've absorbed all the little...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Crackling blobs over the years when you thought THQ was good, and then they split themselves off too much, and then they got just overwhelmed, mate. And if anyone's played the Gario, you should go and play because it's fun. But I feel like at the same time, it's exactly what's happening. Sony had to skirt around. They have to be smart with their money because they don't have as much money. And all these companies need to spend their money. Well, but in the terms of their, I'm not saying I'm promoting they should spend their money. They need to in the sense that their money's just getting, it's just depreciating in value. And that's the horrible thing of inflation. It's just like money just becomes less and less worth. So, but if you put your money,
that's the thing. Like, do you think leaning on like so many, because they're very much banking on these things being the pillars of the PlayStation brand. Like, they're expanding what they are now, sort of safer bets, like to then expand them out. Like, do you think that's enough to sort of stave off? Like, I mean, I would be amazed. It would be weirdly hilarious if Microsoft bought Sony just to end the whole thing and they become the next Sega or something. But that's the thing. Stranger things have happened. Sega became, from Dreamcast to just another third-party publisher. But what do you think of the PlayStation Studios approach? That idea of like games are just one third of what they're doing, that they're also doing TVs and movies just as much.
I'll put this professionally. I'm ignoring the other stuff because it doesn't really sort of like, apart from the Last of Us show.
I was gonna say, you're excited for Last of Us.
Yeah, I am. But at the same time, I'm just like, it's off in the distance. Like, my focus in Sony is games. The reason why I'm excited for this Last of Us thing is because I don't see it as a Sony thing. It's a HBO thing. A HBO are proven as much as sometimes, like, you might get the odd bad episode of things here and there. Mm-hmm. Whereas, yeah, I'm trying not to be rude. It's just like, it can be there. And like, I've delved into a few, like, other things, like some of the Halo books and the Gears books over the years. But when I'm in there for games, right, I'm in there for games.
Yes.
And there's only the one or two things that I even remotely care about being transitioned over. And I get that you can transition them over and you'll get more eyeballs on that thing than you ever would in games, because there's always going to be, for now, there's always going to be this range of people that are never going to touch games and will more likely watch a thing, and that thing can be syndicated or however, or sit on a streaming service to the end of time.
The thing that's interesting with this whole like approach is that I can point to like two things that tried this before. Like Quantum Break tried to be a game and a TV show. Obviously, the TV show was inside the game, but that was back when Xbox doing the whole Kinect thing and trying to embrace the living room and whatever. But it's like, if you're PlayStation Studios, you're trying to plan out how this stuff could go. Do you start telling stories that you fundamentally need to watch the TV show and watch the movie and then play the game to make it all come together? And do things start becoming that, or is the movie or the TV show just a duplicate of whatever was in the game? Like Uncharted is very much a duplicate of especially Uncharted 3, and it's like, that's the thing, is Last of Us just going to retell the last, I guess it will do because it's Joel and Ellie, it's not other characters. So I kind of wonder what their approach is with that, whether they bank on like set pieces and idea storytelling things that have already been done, or whether they try and do multi-part stories that take place across different mediums like Quantum Break did or like Defiance did, because that thing completely failed.
I don't think it's ever really going to work like that, just for the same, unless say like when we get to this point when like TV shows are almost entirely made in like Unreal or something. Mm-hmm. But it's just, having being in some of the other sides of it, it just it's always different, like flows to how it goes. And you would have to look up, like, as big as Sony are, they would still have to upend a big part of, like, say, an industry like the TV or film stuff to, like, carve a thing, their own slot in there where they can get things produced. But then, like, at the same time, it's a lot quicker to make a show or a movie in some respects than it is a game. And the only time this has ever really, really worked was with Dead Space, where they had comics, they had novels, they had the games, and then they had the animated films, because true. I guess the animated films were easier to sort of get through. You don't want to be, when it's all jumping around like that, I feel like you should keep games and movies separate in some respect, unless it was a movie game where the scene cut there, but what if John went around the corner and John Spartan went around the corner and shot a few people with AK-47s instead of shooting people with needlers, you know what I mean?
Well, that cross-medium approach, like, it's just, because right now I don't think it's working on Disney's part. I don't think people care about the Marvel TV shows or the Star Wars TV shows anywhere near as much as the movies, anywhere near as much as the original thing, you know?
I would say that's a bit different because it's TV and film. Like, I don't see that ever really in any significant way intersecting unless you literally rejiggered how a lot of these pipelines work.
Like, consumer appeal, like that idea of, like, well, you've bought the main thing, but also you need to go over here to get, like, this other part of it.
I just feel like the TV shows are less special because they're easier to get to, and they're just sort of like there, you know what I mean? I have this latest episode of The Book of Star Wars with the cameo of Boba Fett, where it was just like, he was drowning in all these references, and there was, like, just by happenstance that I've watched all the Clone Wars and can see all these things. Like, okay. It was interesting. It was, like, exciting, but for the wrong reasons.
I feel like they just make you do the Leo meme. It's like, well, I know what that is. Oh, I know what that is too.
I don't know. We won't spoil anything there, but I don't know if you know what's in that episode. But
I don't. I know there's a Naboo starfighter in last week's one, but I've not, or maybe the week before, but I've not seen the latest one.
There's at least 10 significant things more than that in this one, where you're just drowning. But
right.
And when I say it's the Boba Fett makes a cameo, he's on screen for like 5 seconds.
Flies into the wall, he's gone again.
Yeah, but it's just, when you try and widen things out so much, like, you can say that the MCU is very popular and does all that, but if they're all contained movies to some respect, until you get to some of the bigger ones where now they're having to go up and up and up, sort of thing. But, like, I just think for games, and movie and all that sort of thing, like, it's going to be harder for them to, I don't want to play, personally, I don't think many people want to play a game, finish that game, and then have part of their story be continued in a show, if that makes sense.
No, I totally, I mean, that's the thing. I wouldn't either, unless it was like and some sort of incredibly well told. Like, you could.
And Quantum Break didn't work for me either.
No. And it's like, you'd have to take something that is like you know, at a certain level of world building and lore, so that you have like a thread that you can tease out and then do a whole side story. And then you'd also be questioning why it wasn't in a game anyway. But I just, I think they have this, or you're starting to see the different bits and pieces come together of what they're doing to combat Game Pass. And obviously, they're going to do the Spartacus stuff anyway, whenever that comes out. But they're doing all this stuff for PlayStation Studios, talking about films, greenlighting films and TV shows. And it feels like this wider push to, like, strengthen what PlayStation feels like in a consumer space or an optical space. And then they want to, like, feed that back into the games. And it's like, if they can get that right, then they're closer to Nintendo, where, like, you have these certain IPs that are just ironclad and huge. And they, you know, it's not like Game Pass is competing, or any Xbox character is competing with Nintendo. And I feel like that's what Sony's, they're trying to walk a line down the middle of sort of doing these big productions, banking on IPs, banking on characters, banking on feel, and the PlayStation feel. Like, Nintendo has a feel around it in a way that Xbox and PlayStation doesn't, although I would say PlayStation is closer. And I'm using lots of nebulous terms, but I just feel in terms of marketing appeal, that feels like the thing that they're going for.
And you say that, it's quite funny, because they have the least hold on me than they ever have now. Like, I'm at the point where, like, it's my Mario machine, and I'll jump in for Mario sort of thing. And
oh, really?
I try to dabble in this type of stuff, but, like,
Splatoon.
No.
They got, like, Zelda firing on all cylinders.
Like, Zelda, I don't need to be some elf boy running around in a subpar open world where it rains all the time. And I would love to be Kirby fishing, but I'm not. I'm not playing their blood money for that. I'm not paying, like, what is it?
Oh,
like?
God, I will. I can't wait. The little kid. Whereas, you can go up and down now.
Where I'll be playing like a Halo Motor Blend to like 11 last night, swearing at people, being so angry that they keep hammering me in the face, mm-hmm. or as conging me with those explodable barrels, which I love getting to go conging. But I think they all have to take different avenues, and I feel like they are. And I feel like the way Microsoft are going, Xbox, it favors me more, like the games first. As someone, I hate to, maybe there are millions of people out there like, yes, I want my Sony music involved in my Sony films and all that sort of thing. Right. And I feel that's only really happening because PlayStation are the biggest part of that company now.
Yeah,
whereas like Microsoft are just like, okay, son, they've gone to fit. Whoever's in charge of Microsoft now, they're all right, son, you can have a bit more pocket money. And he's got his pocket money and they're just doing their own thing in some gigantic way. Mm-hmm. And I just think all the other parts of Sony will bring it down. Like when Sony tried to do all their phones and everything like that, and their phones all fail, their laptops fail, their TVs are
way too stuff. Yeah.
Their TVs are way too expensive and they branch out too much. And I feel like it's going to expand and contract because they do games brilliantly. Mm. And I think that that's kind of like how it's going to keep continue to go and sort of thing. And I think there's a reason why so far, even with like the Halo show, right? The Halo show is, they've said that it's in a different universe. It's nothing to do with the games. And like how that the Resident Evil films from the Sony made them, they're in a different headspace. I just don't think we're ever going to get to this world again unless like we get a Dead Space situation where it's like the transmedia of it all like actually mm-hmm. meshes together and it's planned from day one.
Well, it feels like that's what they're trying to do, but yeah, there's a lot of variables in that. It's just that they've announced all this stuff, and Jim Ryan literally said we have an aggressive roadmap plan for live service content. So it's like they do seem to be wanting to have you constantly thinking about PlayStation all the time. You're checking on your dailies, you've got your live service stuff, you've got your TV shows, you've got your movies, and you've got this like set of certain IP that are just larger than life that they keep banking on, God of War, Horizon, whatever. And like I can see that from a marketing perspective. I can see a bunch of suits going like, yeah, that'll be brilliant, because then we wouldn't even acknowledge Nintendo or Xbox or Game Pass. And I feel like that's what they're going for. But Sony are very hubristic, and they've massively fallen apart in the past by like huffing their own pumps for too long, especially in the PS3 era. So I'd be very cautious about that.
I was gonna say, I don't trust, like I still don't have the trust in a Jim Ryan. I feel like
no, me neither.
I feel like a Herman Hulse should be in his position and Jim should be in Herman's in the sense that like, I don't think money men or money women or money people, money humans should money lead entirely. They should be sort of like the side.
They should be consulted. Yeah.
They should be there after that as a backup. And they've said, I don't spend too much on that sort of thing. Don't spend $5 billion on a Bungie sort of thing. Whereas I feel like someone needs to, not because I'm a gamer and we're gamers first. I feel like someone with knowledge and passion of it has to be involved more so. I feel like even though Reggie Fils-Aimé was a big money man, but he also he knew games and like that. And he wouldn't go, I am playing the latest Sony video game on the PlayStation 5 that has DualSense support, and I don't know what Gran Turismo 1 is.
My favorite game is whatever we're advertising right now. Like, every time that Jim Ryan had to prove himself in those crucial first few months or that first year or so, massively fell down. And like you said, like when he was asked about old games, he was like, why would anyone ever want to play that? And it's like, brilliant, great way to resonate with people who have been with you for 25 years at this point. So yeah, I think the Jim Ryan thing is a phenomenal point. I think overall, like you can feel the creativity coming from Phil Spencer. You can feel him trying to greenlight as many cool ideas as possible.
That picture of Bungie, right, when they're in that Bungie thing, I straight away saw Herman, and then like a day later, I realized Jim was in that picture. It just seemed sort of like someone on the outside, just like, yeah, cool, yeah. It just like there. But I don't get his presence. I don't get what he's doing. He's not like a Kaz Harai.
Yeah, exactly. I mean? He's just overseeing the numerics. That's one of the things with Nintendo. They have such a, like, I mean, the thing is, amongst all of this, Nintendo are just on an island somewhere else. Like, I love that when the Activision deal was going down, they just put a trailer out for Banjo-Kazooie on the N64 emulator for the Switch. And I was like, I love that that was their reaction. And during this thing, it was like, here's another trailer for Kirby. And they're just over there on their own little island because they don't care. But you can feel those two warring ideologies come through with them. Like, Nintendo make horrific business decisions alongside some of the most cutesy professional games, like polished games. They put so much time into their games. You never get a really buggy first-party Nintendo game because they do devote the resources. But it is that back and forth. Like you said, it's like you almost need a Hideo Kojima figure in the what would be the Jim Ryan position. And then someone else to rein them in a little bit. The money men can't lead.
I think Herman eventually does take that position. That's my prediction. Yeah, I think Herman gets there eventually because I feel like he's just building more and more trust as it goes.
Well, that was one of the things with this deal, that he was Mr. Killzone and he's the dude that Bungie have to answer to now. Like, Bungie are very much independent, but there is a note in the official blog post saying that they will report directly to Herman Holst. So it's just this weird dark irony thing that the guy that made the Halo killer is now the guy who's in charge of what Bungie do next.
Let Jim Ryan go to be CEO of Pringles or whatever and go and sort some money out over there. And then we can get Jim out and get Herman in. I don't want Jim to lose a job. I want Jim to sort of transition more to something where Pringle. It's just... Yeah, get some Pringles out there, sell some pizza dishes and some of that. And, I don't know, sell Tupperware.
So sell products. Like, he's a product man. Like, sell product. We should end on one of the, it's not necessarily the most obvious question, but a potentially hilarious alternate reality. Do you think that at some point in the future, this can be way off in the future, Sony get Bungie to make the new Killzone?
No, because I don't think Killzone is a good enough franchise that should continue.
Me
with
too.
Such
I think Killzone sucks.
Developer.
Yeah,
I would say you go to Resistance first because that has a more interesting premise, and I feel like it was kneecapped because it was seen as too similar to The Last of Us, is what's come out in recent years. I just feel like there's so much more there in the Resistance brand, even though I'm just full disclosure, I never owned one of those games. I only played them on friends' machines because when I was a wee little child, I couldn't afford a PS3, and I'm not buying them now because I'll buy them now and then they'll come out as a new collection.
Yeah, they'll
full,
full
trophy support. And then I'll be like, oh, I just wasted all this goddamn time.
You've got to get Resistance Retribution on PS Vita eventually, mate. It's just enough people have got to
give Sony Bend. They pitched a Resistance. Like, just get someone, I want to see what Blue Point are on. I don't want to, selfish gamer mode, activate now. Blue Point, mate, get going. Get Resistance Trilogy out there. Come on. I don't know what they're doing.
Where is that? Put Retribution
Jim,
out.
Buy Konami. You've got to send Herman over to Japan. You've got and create this Japan alliance that we all keep seeing bumming around Twitter and in conversations.
Yeah.
Let's get the super alliance over there. I don't want Capcom being bought because just leave them on their own. Because we've got to have companies doing their weird stuff, right? And I feel like if you had a Square Enix make this stuff, they'd be riled in as well with some of the things they do. Get Funnily Capcom. Enough. Buy their pachinko machines, flog them all to Jim. Let Jim take the pachinko division of Sony and then get Herman in there and we go.
Get the Pringles machines. Yeah, I think Capcom would be the one that would apply the most to the TV movie game split, for, ironically enough, that we've sort of laid out. But yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a thing. I think we're at a very interesting point as the generation starts to kick off, after everyone recovering from all the pandemic stuff and all the different games that are finally coming out. There's actually new games this month, like proper big games that people will be talking about. So many. We'll keep covering stuff as it breaks. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Did you know Ghostwire Tokyo is coming out next month?
I didn't even realize Dying Light 2 is out tomorrow until I started seeing the review scores for it. But yeah, we'll wishing all the best to Mr. Josh Brown, and we'll catch you all very soon. Bye-bye.
Pringles.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.